This is I Did Not Sign Up For This, a bi-weekly show featuring two queer couples. We're U-hauling our friendship and inviting you to join us. I'm Sam, and I'm joined by my partner Amy, as well as Carling and Lindsay. Say hey, gays!
Hey!
If you're enjoying this show and want more episodes, join us over on Patreon, where you'll get instant access to the back catalogs, entries into giveaways, and so much more. In today's episode, we're diving headfirst into the world of collections. We'll talk about what makes a collection, our own peculiar collections, and then stay tuned for a story about a life-consuming, history-changing collection.
Whoa.
Yeah. Stay tuned. First off, I feel like we haven't talked to you guys in forever.
I know.
Even though we talk all day, every day.
But Amy was away.
But we just spent the last 36 minutes catching up.
I was being business, Amy.
You were being business, Amy. You were jet setting across Canada.
Globetrotter.
Off to Tirana.
Hot for Tirana.
I went to the world's oldest queer bookstore.
Oh. The world's?
The world's oldest queer bookstore is in Toronto.
Wait, world's oldest
the
queer
whole
bookstore?
World?
The whole world.
Thank you, Lindsay.
That's awesome. That's incredible.
It's called Glad Day Bookstore.
Aww.
It was more cafe than bookstore, to be honest. But there was lots of very lovely things in there. And there's a whole like used book section, and they have some like merch and stuff that you can buy. There were some people in there. One person had their dog there, and the dog was the friendliest dog that I've ever seen in my life. So
of course, you can't be a dog at a queer the world's queerest bookstore.
I mean, that's yet to be.
I think we have a bookstore to open, ladies.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's so cool. Yeah. I wanted to follow up on our last main feed episode, which is dreams. First off, Carling, have you mastered lucid dreaming yet?
No, but
you seem
really
dedicated.
I know. And I'll be honest, I have ADHD, so I only tried one time. But it did not work, but I'm committed to considering trying again one more time. Probably.
So
first, I need to master keeping my mouth guard in my mouth all night, because
yeah, that's
a tricky situation.
Yeah.
Right after we recorded that episode, I had what I would consider a reverse lucid dream. Do you know which one I'm telling you about?
I remember it kind
briefly.
Of.
Briefly? Okay. So I will have dreams of being back in high school.
And now I remember.
And like there was a girl that I was in love with, and I came out to her, and that's how like all the dominoes started to fall. All my friends left me, and like sad queer baby Sam.
Let's go.
But I have this recurring dream where that girl, like we're both still in high school, and it doesn't go that way, right? Like things turn out great. And so I'm in this dream and I look at her and I go, just tell me it's real, because I couldn't handle it if it wasn't real. And she goes, it's real. And then I wake up. I know. I told him, really sad this morning. Maybe Sam got her heart broken again.
Aww.
But it was grown up Sam. And then we talked on that episode about talking to each other in our sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the next morning or 2 days after, Amy and I woke up and we both had dreams about you guys. So
about Lindsay.
Yeah, it was Lindsay specifically. I had a dream that we all went to an NHL game and they asked Lindsay to sing the national anthem. So instead of singing, you decided to do it spoken word and the people loved it.
Oh, Canada.
And then you turned off the mic and said, that was fucking awesome. And then Amy.
Yeah, I said that I had a dream that all of us were at some sort of an event. I think it might have been a concert. And then there was a reception at your guys' house. Uh-huh. And there was so much stuff happening everywhere. And our children were being chaotic. So there's like food on the floor and stuff going everywhere. And
that's the crowd going wild in my dream, I'm imagining.
Yeah. And so Carling, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And you're like, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. It's fine.
We're getting new carpets in 5 years.
Seriously. Yeah.
And then I said, and Lindsay was telling me some entertaining story while getting dressed. So like you're just.
Yeah. Don't leave out the last line.
Oh, what was the last line?
And then Sam and I were haunted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a scary part of the
dream. Anyway, so I'm just imagining us laying in bed going, Lindsay.
actually, we've had it where we've slept over at a friend's house before. This was before children. And because we talked so much in our sleep, like we're sleeping and we're backed onto this, our friend's bedroom. And they're like, we heard you guys last night.
Oh, God.
What? I'm like, man, next time be quieter. Like, you guys... we went right to bed.
Yeah. No, we were in the other room talking to each other and chirping.
And people, it was mistaken for shenanigans.
Yeah. Lewd acts.
Lewd acts. Yeah. Yeah.
So had never heard of being able to control your dreams until we chatted about this last episode. And then Wyatt had a bad dream a few days later, as he does. He has lots of bad dreams. And I went into his room and he was upset. And I was like, well, tell me about your dream. That usually like helps him calm down. And so he was telling me about it. And he said, what did he say? Usually I can scream. And
I can tell it to stop.
I can get the dream to stop. And I was like, oh my God. Like it's
hey,
like,
but that's called lucid dreaming.
Yeah. We're doing it right now. And I was like, oh wow, cool. Tell me more. It's like 1 a.m. So yeah, I just thought that was awesome. Cool. I had not heard of that, and so I wonder if, because he struggles with nightmares, like if I could chat with him more about the fact that it's lucid dreaming. Like he's a pretty smart kid, and like get him to maybe learn how to turn the dream off faster. Because in the dream, we were all being chased and eaten by coyotes, which is not great.
Not great.
No.
Not excellent.
No, it's not excellent. What's the first thing you think of when you think about collections? What comes to mind?
Pesky phone calls of people phoning asking me for money.
That is not what this episode is about.
Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I brought a stack of my bills.
How do I get out of collections?
I think we have some people we could call to ask for help.
That's true. Oh, no.
I think of my keychain collection that I had when I was a kid.
Ooh, fun.
I just think it gives me anxiety.
Interesting. Why does it give you anxiety?
Because I don't like a lot of things. Like, I don't, it feels like a commitment. It feels like a headache. It feels like a mess. It feels dusty.
That's fair. I would have guessed that you wouldn't like it because it would never be complete.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Add that to it.
Now you've given me something else not to like. All right, Amy, what's
new
here?
Phobia unlocked.
You're welcome. So like there's a lot of collections in my family, which
you think of family.
Yeah.
Like the things that your family's collecting.
Family collection of things.
So when I was doing some research for this episode, there is obviously collecting is a huge deal, right? Like people are collectors. You can make a career out of it. Antiques roadshow, yada, yada, yada. So there is a definition, like a definitive line between collecting and accumulating. Yeah. I found this on a website called TaminoAutographs.com, which is autograph collecting. So accumulating is not collecting. So someone with drawers full of jewelry or closets full of purses is likely not a collector. They simply like accessories a lot. This is just an example. Maybe you have a jersey from every team you follow and refuse to even toss the rattiest one. That's not a collection. That's accumulation with a preference and good taste, we're sure.
Interesting.
So they say collecting is a purposeful activity. A serious collector is knowledgeable about their chosen treasures. They usually organize and catalog them. Most collectors showcase their compilations in some manner, either public or private. And typically, they also know exactly what they're missing and hoping to acquire. Huh. Which I think is really,
that's a key piece.
That's a key piece. With that in mind, a lot of what I'm going to talk about personally is probably considered accumulating.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't personally collect anything with the intent of getting, you know, you got to catch them all type thing. So Amy, what kind of collections are in your family or are they accumulations?
Well, I would say that two of them are definitely collections. True blue collections. My opa, who passed away just over a week ago. I have no idea what he did in his office all the time, but he had a book of stamps. He collected stamps.
Yep, that's a thing.
And so whenever you were supposed to travel anywhere, he would always ask that you send him a letter or a postcard so that he could get a stamp from wherever it was that you were going and add it to his collection. I don't remember ever looking at any of the stamps. But he would be very careful, like he would steam the letters and carefully like peel them off and place them and like take a look at the year. So I'm sure that's somewhere in his office somewhere. The other one, my opa's son, Rick, my uncle, he collected rocks. He had probably 3 glass cases, if not more, of different types of rocks that were labeled and showcased in there so that you could see the different types of rocks and colors and all that stuff. That must
have interested you as a kid.
It did. I had my nose like pressed against the glass a lot. So I don't know where my love of collecting things has come from. Not that I have a collection of anything, but I feel like I collect a lot of knowledge.
True. Ooh. You're a knowledge collector. Yeah. So some of the more traditional collections that I was reading about, there's stamps, coins, cards, like sports cards, autographs, video games. I recently just watched a lot of content about, surprise, surprise, video game collecting and how the market is artificially inflated by the people who control the auctions. Okay. And so there are games that are going for like first edition Super Mario in package graded video game cartridges that are going for millions of dollars.
Like what about
it's the wild. Video,
what about the first edition Super Mario Brothers that's sitting in my cottage that I play every summer?
Yeah, it's not worth anything because it's not in the package. Yeah.
Like I've got the box from my Nintendo. It's just opened and being used.
Nobody likes it used.
Yeah, nobody likes a used box. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know about those collections. Yeah. How about you guys? Do you have any like traditional collections that you have or in your families?
I do have a fond memory of my grandpa collecting Snoopy things, like Snoopy lighters and coasters and pens and stamps and everything with Snoopy from Charlie Brown. I think they were all like old timey collections. Like I think my grandma collected those little spoons.
Oh, my grandparents collected. Oh,
yeah. Like I think that was a very whenever old-timey. They drove.
Yeah, ditto.
Get somewhere. The little spoon.
And then did they have the little rack in their kitchen and they all
stits in? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. And then.
Yep.
And then the plates. I feel like
plates
from like.
Yeah, you got to get those special holders on them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the only thing that I think I've collected as a kid was Pogs. I'm dating myself. Do you guys remember Pogs? Yeah.
I had a collection of Pogs too.
Slammers.
Yeah, the big ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember displaying them on my nightstand in my room. Like I'd clean my whole room and then spend the most time displaying my Pogs.
That's so sweet.
Did you ever like play Pogs though, or like, did you just?
I don't remember playing Pogs.
Me neither.
So I think I was collecting
was.
Yeah. Like I think I was just part of the hype of like acquiring them,
and I had them. Like I kept them in a big plastic tube.
Yeah.
See, that's just like collecting spoons.
Yeah,
you don't actually use them as spoons.
Yeah,
okay,
just to look at.
But what about Beanie Babies?
Oh, yeah, I was gonna get there.
Like I had.
It's like
a
it's just generational. Yeah,
it wasn't a huge
collection. I wanted to collect them.
Yeah, well, it's another thing. There's always these generational collections that get artificially inflated. Some people get so into and they collect excessively because they think that it's going to be the thing they leave to their kids.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know what drives that.
I don't know either. Like, I find it hard to buy something and not open it and think, oh, I'm going to keep this as a collector's item.
Like, I'd rather just invest my money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
QR ad for Questrain. Yeah.
Did you know that if you pay an extra 2% over 15 years, you could save hundreds of thousands of dollars?
It's true.
Not sponsored by Questrain.
I had a keychain collection as a kid. Like I just had a bucket full of keychains. And anytime we went anywhere, which was like we didn't have a lot of money. We didn't travel a ton. But I would ask people to bring me keychains back if they were going somewhere. And it was quite a big bucket. I guess I'm stressed now. You've stressed me out. I don't think I have a collection of anything. I have an accumulation of everything. Yeah. But anyways.
We both, sister.
We only just sold them in the garage sale we had like 2 years ago. Oh. I had one that was like a sperm. Do you remember why it kept calling it a ghost?
A ghost? A ghost tadpole.
A ghost tadpole. That's what he was calling it. It was like a rubber, I don't know.
Yeah.
But as a family, and I think this was an actual collection, or it is an actual collection, we collected hockey cards. So my dad collected hockey cards when he was younger, and he had these ones called Tall Boys, and they're like this size, like is the length of like a card and a half. And they were big in
maybe the 60s or 70s. My mom can correct me on that.
Like, how would you put it in a book, though? Like, those pockets.
Like, maybe they had special pockets for it. Hmm. And so, yeah, my mom had a hockey card collection, and then my brother and I had hockey card collections. And so my brother and I were collecting the 1990 Score brand hockey cards. We would go to hockey card shows on the weekends. That was like our fun thing we would do as a family.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah. Fun. I met Johnny Bauer and got his autograph once. And I remember my brother and I were each allowed, we were at a hockey card show once, and we were each allowed to purchase an entire team of our choosing of the 1990 Score hockey cards. And so I picked the Pittsburgh Penguins. They were my favorite team, which is ironic because it's my son's favorite team now. So now as an adult, my brother and I have merged our collections, and we're not missing that many cards, really. Yeah, I always keep an eye out whenever I'm like at hockey tournaments and things like that. Sometimes they have hockey cards there to see if they're selling any of them. Like, it would be cool. And I don't know. I don't think it's worth anything, but
it's worth $1 million in memories.
Exactly. It's in a binder in our basement. And my mom has all my dad's hockey cards just in a bin. My dad was also a coin collector pre-children. Hmm. And so my dad's coin collection was untouched for 100 years. Like, I don't remember him ever touching it or looking at it when I was a kid. Yeah. And so he had this coin collection that I don't really remember him looking at when I was younger. But now that he is gone, he's been gone for 30 years. But my mom just this year gave the coin collection to me and Wyatt to sort of sort through. And we're going to see, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some Easter eggs in there. Maybe we're sitting on $1 million and we don't even know it, but probably not.
Yeah, that's interesting. I found a box of hockey cards at work that didn't belong to anybody who worked there now. And so I've started just plopping them into a catalog, like an online catalog. Nothing extravagant yet.
Yeah, you never know.
Like you say, wonder if there's a gem.
I know, this is how I feel about the coins. And it's interesting now, I didn't realize this, but now because of the internet, there's all these apps. Like, I can just take a picture of this coin using the camera on an iPad, and it'll just catalog it into everything. Yeah. So, yeah. And then we can do the same with the hockey cards once we figure out the coin collection. So, yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
We haven't really looked at the coins yet at all, but it's on the list of things to do.
Yeah. So I drafted up a little list of the things that I accumulate. First of all, my mom would collect lanyards. So
yes.
It was the same as your keychains. She would, whenever somebody went somewhere. And my dad went to a lot of trade shows and traveled a lot, and lanyards are pretty ubiquitous. Yeah. So she had a big collection that we inherited that are downstairs in the Maggie box.
And then we still have them?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you have one with ghost tadpoles?
No ghost.
I don't think I've seen one of those.
I should have let him
though
keep
she
it.
Would be the kind of person who would pick up a sperm lanyard. I'll have to look through. She also collected coasters. Oh. Just like, even though she never went anywhere, like, she would always like just slyly at a restaurant slide like 6 coasters into her purse. I don't know why. Yeah. 6. It's free. Yeah. Take it.
She made me use a coaster because I was too heavy-handed with my cups.
You had your own coaster. We have it in the drawer. It's made out of like deer hide. It's the weirdest coaster.
It's so weird. It's fancy. We have to glue it back on.
Yeah.
But that was the coaster. Whenever I sat down, she had a special place for it. She would pull it out and give it to me. Like, thank you. Because nobody was allowed to dent the table.
Yes, because my grandmother would haunt you. It was her, like, one of those big sets where there was the credenza and the...
Except nobody wants them.
Yeah, and then when everybody died, nobody wanted it. Not even the pawn shops. They're like, yeah, we already have 6. Like,
yeah.
I have no space for this shit. I mean, to pay people to take it, like...
Like a piano. Okay.
Thank you. So personally, like, I don't really collect things officially, but we do like Lego.
We do like Lego.
When in doubt, we'll, like, for a gift, Lego. Any member of the family, any gift, Lego. It's always a solid answer. So I think that's something that we kind of accumulate. A weird thing that we do accumulate is dryer lint. You know, if you take dryer lint,
your face.
If you take dryer lint and you shove it into a toilet paper
roll, starter.
It makes a fire starter.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so handy, and we take them camping, and we use them all the time, or we use them outside to start our own little fire pit.
My cousin and his wife do it. She's like, she was in Girl Guides all of her life, and this is where she learned this. So she keeps them for camping, because when we're at the cottage, we have like a bit more, we're not lighting the fire for food, we're lighting it for fun. So we have some more time to kind of nurse it to get it going. But if it's like wet or anything, she'll go up and she'll appear with all these toilet paper rolls full of lint.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're super flammable.
Yeah. Well, the lint is super flammable, and then the cardboard stops it from all burning at once, the cardboard of the toilet. But we haven't been camping for a couple of years.
And change this Frankie. Year.
A couple of years. We're going to go camping.
I want to buy a tent trailer.
Fun.
Ooh. She keeps sending me.
Yeah, we haven't gone camping in a long time, and we haven't been using the back fire pit as much. So just in the garage, I have a giant like tub of toilet paper roll with lint shoved in it. Like just a fire pit.
Yeah.
Hanging out. I stopped probably 6 months ago. I was like, this, we have
too much. Sell them for a dollar each.
I've been throwing up the lint.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. It smells like my laundry. And then the other thing, like I have this, it's a very, very stereotypical like man, husband, dad thing to collect, but it's like pieces of wood. Like I'll find like a good piece of wood and I'll go put it. I have a wood pile in the garage. Mm-hmm. We have a bit of a, like a wood shop in the garage and pieces of wood. Power adapters. I'd like to say that I'm pretty restrained now. Like
you've reined it in a bit.
I manage it by keeping it within a box.
Right.
Like there's a limit.
You got to get rid of one
so
if you're going to get
power
rid
adapters
of
and
you got to set a limit. Stay within it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just good.
I also recently asked you to cull your collection of Crema containers.
They're the big like tubs. They're like a tub of Crema and. Frankie's such a skinny mini that when she was little, she was zero percentile in weight and we had to do everything we could to put weight on her. So she would eat this Crema vanilla yogurt. And so we'd buy it all the time. She would just eat lots of it. We would eat it. Now Artie eats it. So we just, every week we go through a tub of Crema and the boxes are perfect. They're little cubes. And so you can stack them and you can label them. And Amy hates it.
Well, it's just they're
it's
just
garbage
everywhere.
Yeah, it's garbage is what it is. They're really good for like sorting a drawer, right? You can get like 10 of them in a drawer and you have them all like in a.
See, in my day, we used to use ice cream buckets.
Oh yeah. So my very first job was scooping ice cream in Bob Cajun at the Kawartha Dairy. Mm. So we had those 11 like 0.9 liter buckets. The round ones, the cardboard ones. And we had just had a stack of them in the back of the dairy and people would just come. They were allowed to grab them. They were for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People like a good container.
An accumulation that my mom's mom left us was these Pizza 73. They had a box that could hold two pizzas. And for some reason, my grandmother was just it's the same thing as the Crema containers. It's just, it's a good size. It's a good size box. And so in her storage like room downstairs, she must have had like 150 of these boxes, like just pizza boxes, and they still had like little grease spots in them and the little tables and everything. So once she moved out of that house, we're like, well, it's time to get rid of the collection. This is our inheritance, is this 150 pizza box stack.
When I was a kid, I think I inherited this book of stickers from my aunt.
Oh, I used to collect stickers.
I think. Yeah, sticker collections. And there's like a page for the puffy stickers, a page for the smelly
the
stickers, a
sniff.
Page for the
the hieroglyphic ones, like the
I had one
the shinies
that had, it was like a puffer, but it had like this goo in it and you could like push it and it would move around. I think
pretty
Olivia
slime.
Has my sticker collection. Like I remember in grade 6 at recess trading stickers with people.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
Whoa. Were they still sticky? Or did they have a backing on it or
like
what?
It depended. So it depends. Sometimes you go to trade with somebody and they're peeling it off. They're like, because it was, I kept them in those old photo albums with the clear page.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
So it like wasn't, it was like less of a trade if they were like, if the back was already off. It's not worth
on
it.
On paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a used.
Depreciated.
Yeah.
But those scratch and sniff ones, man, open up that. And then you get a waft. There was a dill pickle one.
Ooh.
I can't imagine that mixing with like the sweet smells.
I mean,
though.
there were a lot of smells on that page.
I wonder what kind of chemicals there are in those scratch and sniffs.
I wonder too.
Like what's going on there?
I have a very important question to ask everyone.
Mm-hmm.
What is the very first CD you added to your collection?
Oh, I know exactly
Me
which
too.
One it was.
Like, are we talking about when from tape to CD?
Because I can tell you.
Like your very first CD. Yeah.
So my very first CD.
You can give me both.
It was New Kids on the Block. Hangin' Tough.
Was that a CD or tape?
It was I bought both the tape and the CD.
Okay.
So I have a similar story. For my birthday, which is in May, I got the tape of Dance Mix 95.
Classic.
And then for Christmas, I got a CD player and Dance Mix 95 on CD.
Ooh.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. I have purged a lot of things over the years. I don't also do not like clutter, which is, I feel like our house is cluttery, but I've tried to purge.
I know how that feels.
As much as I could. And like my ex, Greg, and I, we purged all of our DVDs. Like it was silly to have them. And I will not get rid of my CDs. They're still in a box in the basement. I can't do it.
That's fair. My first album that, the first CD that I bought, and I remember it was with my own money, was the Venga Boys Party album.
Oh, we like to party. We like to party. We like to party.
Yeah, that and boom, 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 boom.
I want to go boom, boom.
Yeah. And we can be together
from now until forever.
So I'm showing Amy this. Do you see this album art? It is lions having sex.
It is.
Yeah. Is that on the Venga Boys CD?
That's on the Venga Boys album. That's the one that I bought
as a child.
Yeah, you didn't.
Well,
I didn't know.
I definitely have a different vibe for my first CD.
Was it Celine Dion?
It was Celine Dion.
It's okay. I had Celine Dion tapes.
Power of Love, Shania Twain was a big one.
Yeah. Sheryl Crow. Mm-hmm. So we were just driving in the car the other day, and my son Wyatt, who's 11, he was like, Mom, do we have a record player? And I was like, no. Why? And he was like, I got some records from school. And I was like, you got records from school? He's like, one of the teachers has like this whole thing of like all these extra records, and she said we could take some. And he opens up his backpack and pulls out 3 CDs. And I was like, but that's a CD. We also don't have a CD player, but that's a CD, not a record. Like, they just don't know.
They don't know.
Music just appears.
I failed you as a parent.
Yeah. Music just appears out of thin air for them.
Very interesting. So the other things I have to ask, have you ever thrifted something? Like, I feel like a lot of collectors depend on thrift stores. Do you guys have any interesting thrifts that you guys have found?
I'm a horrible person because I get anxious in thrift stores because it's so much stuff. And as organized as they try to make it, everything seems dusty and unorganized to me. So I don't do a lot of thrifting. But I'm in awe, like when Lindsay goes to the thrift store with Olivia and comes back with like some like sweet finds, like some clothing.
Yeah.
And like you guys have some really great stuff.
I used to thrift a lot back in the day. Now Olivia's into thrifting, which is really nice because Lululemons at Value Village are much cheaper than brand new Lululemons.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. And if you find the right neighborhood, you can find...
Exactly.
Like, usually find the good deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in my 20s and like my late teens, I would go and I would find old work shirts. And I went through this phase. It was a short-lived phase. It was probably only for a year. And like I had one that said like Flo was like the name Flo was embroidered on it. And like I had all these old work shirts and that's what I wore.
Like janitorial type?
I don't know, like restaurants. Okay. And yeah, I would just find like funny ones.
That's really
funny. For some
reason,
I can see you in like a bowling shirt. You know,
That'd
be so cool.
Yeah, you're way into that.
Well, what about you guys?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, did you thrift?
I don't really find.
You find like, such good things at the
clothing.
Thrift store.
Well, thank you. So what I found is that I don't like thrifting with other people. Oh. I have to thrift alone. Because otherwise I feel like I'm taking too much time. There's too much pressure to get out the door. And even if like I'm thrifting with somewhere where I need to be afterward, I also don't enjoy that because then I'm just concerned about time.
Free thrift.
I need space and freedom to thrift. The way I need to. So that way, like, because I must investigate every single piece of clothing, I need the time to actually go through methodically to do that in each section that I am hoping to hit. So it takes time.
Yeah. The only thing that I've really gotten into thrift collecting are just random graphic t-shirts. And so we'll go through the men's t-shirts. And ironically, I'm not wearing one today. But
she almost always is.
I know, like my Bieber shirt.
Yeah.
That was thrifted.
Do you guys have something? So we have a collection, or maybe it's an accumulation in our family. So my grandpa he was like a wood carver in his retirement. Mm. That's what he spent all of his free time doing. And so their entire house was filled with his carvings. He had mastered a loon, like the bird. Mm-hmm. So there's like the original loon, which is like this black and white bird. He had the wood burning kit and he would wood burn every single tiny detail on it, every single feather. So when he passed away, what do you do with this stuff?
It's hard.
And so we brought it all to the cottage and the whole family picked what they wanted. But like, there's so much left still in bins in the shed at the cottage. And like, what do you do with it? We literally have like carved wooden animals all over my home. And so does everyone else in the family. But what else do you do with it?
They're funny conversation starters.
This sounds like a podcast. It sounds like a podcast giveaway. Yeah. Yeah.
Join us over on Patreon where you can win
one of Lindsay's
grandfather's carvings.
That would be so cool.
I know. They are really cool. And this is the thing. Is they're not bad.
No. Yeah. There's just so many of them. Yeah. My grandfather was in a lot of golfing championships and competitions. And so he had a lot of medals and statues and he was a curler. Mm-hmm. So he had lots of curling statues. What do you do with it? Like, this is literally an achievement.
Yeah. But what do you do with it?
I can't.
I know.
Like, everybody just died. Everybody's dead. Yeah. I can't keep everyone's achievements. What do you do with it?
While trying to get your own achievements. Yeah,
exactly.
My mom has had a good idea. And I think this is something we should do more often is take a picture of it. Right. And then get rid of it.
Mm, yeah.
Right. And then you still have a photo of it and a digital photo takes up zero space. And there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. We do that with the kids when we're giving away something that they love.
Oh, yeah.
But like, it's just like a baby toy or something.
But I think this is one of my, in talking about dead people's things, it gives me anxiety to think about having to decide what to do with a large quantity of things. Whether it's valuable or sentimental. I grew up, I think, with parents who were very sentimental and kept everything. And having to move a lot, that feeling of a burden, like it feels like heavy and I just keep thinking dusty. I don't think I'm a minimalist by any stretch, but I just think if I haven't thought of it in a week, I probably don't need it in my life anymore. And I intentionally,
Marie Kondo that.
Yeah, I intentionally don't put a lot of emotional importance into things. I actually do think too, it has like having to leave some unsafe situations in a hurry and having to leave it and not, you know, it would have probably drowned me to, you know, would have consumed me to think about the loss of it all as if I can just not.
Stuff is stuff and it can all be replaced.
Stuff is stuff and it can be replaced. Yeah,
you're able to compartmentalize. Yeah.
And
I did see something online. I saw a picture online of like a classic 90s house or an 80s house where it was just jammed full of stuff, like everything on every surface, and the classic 90s kitchen. And then there was a picture of a minimalist house and you're like, you wonder why millennials are minimalists, because like, we grew up in this.
I have a cousin and she has some trauma surrounding my grandmother. And so she has collected all of my grandmother who has died. She died in 2013. She has collected all of these things. She lives in Ontario, this cousin, with a bunch of my grandmother's things. And she'll message me and be like, hey, cuz, do you want this nightstand that was grandma's? And I'm like, no. Like, what? What am I? Are you going to ship it to me? Like, she had a like trauma bond with all of these items. And so she took them. And she is trying to pawn them off on other family members slowly. And I'm like, no, thank you. Please stop asking.
Send me a picture of it.
Yeah, no, please stop. Also, I'm a few provinces away. It should be fine.
It's really fun inheriting somebody's set of crystal, teeny tiny, delicate figurines.
Yeah. Don't get me started on the crystal. So much
like
crystal.
Like our Swarovski.
You know why?
Little tchotchkes.
And tea sets. Holy
my mom
shit.
Has my great-grandma's tea set, and it's in a bin at the cottage, and it will be mine one day.
I have one. I kept one tea set that I liked.
We've never brought it out.
No.
What are you going to do?
It's like,
and we don't have china like cabinets like they used used to.
Back in our day,
them.
I will say, my grandma, my dad's mom, who's my last living grandparent, collected. I'm sure it's Swarovski, and they're like they create
figurines.
They have collections. She's pared it down, but she's got this beautiful cabinet, and she cleans it and dusts it, and they're stunning, and it meant so much to her. And she's talked about leaving, you know, different figurines to different grandkids. And so I do look forward to like receiving a piece of the collection for that sentimental. Yeah. Like, I think that's really nice. I grew up sort of like in awe of it. And it was always, you know, we're not allowed to touch them, but we can look at them.
We're going to put them next to every single wood carving
all over our home.
If you would like to be entered into a draw to receive one piece of Swarovski crystal, a tea set, also a tie.
Yeah.
My grandfather had a lot of ties.
Reasons to join our
lanyard.
You'll get our dead relatives things.
Come on. So something that I thought was kind of quintessentially this generation is that we collect our online recipes. Like, I know I'll be like flicking through websites and be like, oh, that looks delicious. Favorite. And then you never look at it again. Right. Yeah. I look at two recipes in that folder. One's the waffle recipe and one is the salad roll chicken recipe.
Ooh, salad roll. Good, both of those sound like things we would enjoy next time we're visiting.
We can do that. I would gladly make salad rolls for you guys. Something I found recently that really tickled me is there's an Instagram account. She collects broken toys and pieces from, she'll go to Value Village or to a thrift store and she'll find those like miscellaneous toy bins and bags. You get like 100 toys for a dollar or whatever, right? Just they don't match anything. Her name is Lakenzie Powell and her tag is _Lakenzo_LAKENZO. What she does is she kind of upcycles them. So she'll take a broken duck and she'll fix his eye. And then she'll make a hat out of like a plastic coin and like one of those flippy rubber things that you would put in a tie up. She'd make a little hat out of it and paint it and put a little daisy on it. And then she just creates this whole story arc in whatever a minute of these toys that she's repurposed. And she has this wall of bins all color coded. And like coded in shapes and materials. I'm like, oh,
that is really
nice. That's cool. Like, I just love, like, my dream is to have a store where people can bring me their old toys and I fix them.
That's
I love that. Like, and I want to just like collect little pieces and like collect the toys. But yeah. So do you guys want to hear about this history changing collection that I learned about? So there's a woman named Marion Stokes. So Marion Stokes recorded her television for 24 hours a day for 33 years, starting in 1979, right when the 24-hour news cycle started. And it ended, she stopped recording on December 14th, 2012, when she passed away.
What?
On like VHS tapes?
Yeah. On VHS tapes.
Okay.
How many years?
In that time, 33 years. So in that time, Marion recorded 70,000 VHS tapes, capturing revolutions, lies on the news, wars, triumphs, catastrophes, bloopers, talk shows, commercials, and show how television shaped the world of
that day.
The public didn't know it, but networks were disposing of the archives for decades. So their own archives were getting disposed of.
So this is why we can't find the 2020 episode on Lesbianville.
On Northampton.
Marion.
Honestly. So right now,
she did.
So right now, those 70,000 VHS tapes, when she died, they got donated to the Internet Archive and they're archived. But it's like the Internet Archive is a nonprofit and they only have so much time and every VHS tape is so many hours. So yeah, she basically saved 30 years of content from being lost just to the trash can of time. Which I think is incredible.
I want to hear from our listeners what they collect.
Yeah.
And I also want to know if they have inherited a collection and what you chose to do with it.
Yeah, things I wish I kept that would be worth a lot now is all of my Polly Pockets.
Oh, yeah. I heard those are worth so much.
I was obsessed and I had so many choking hazards, those Polly Pockets.
They're so tiny.
And my Pogs.
Yeah.
Polly was out and... for you in your life. Yeah.
I think, too, there's some, like, pretty stereotypical, like, collecting, like, Barbie and Coca-Cola products.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
M&M's and Disney and those guys. Mm-hmm. There's an item that I didn't know was a collectible. And my sister had it. It was a wand, like, very small.
Clear wand.
It was a clear wand.
I've had this.
Filled with glitter. And inside, it was a Where's Waldo wand. And you had to spin it and try to find Where's Waldo. But because it's suspended in liquid, it changes constantly.
Yeah. So he's like a piece of glitter.
So you can still purchase those at Mastermind. I've seen them. But you're right. The specific Where's Waldo one.
Way. Frankie was way into Where's Waldo a couple of years ago. And so Amy was, yeah. Amy
and when I was looking, they're like over $100 a pop.
Wow. Yeah.
For the Waldo wand.
Retro Where's Waldo wand. That's really hard to say.
Does anybody else remember that? I want to know from the listeners if they had a Where's Waldo wand.
Send it in.
Where's Waldo books? Where's Waldo wand? I remember rushing to the library to get the Where's Waldo book.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wyatt has a bunch of them. And it's funny because they're all the same from when I was a kid. But there's so many more things to find than just Waldo. There's Wenda and the wizard.
Totally.
The dog's tail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dog. Yeah.
And yeah, the and bone the small and the stuff. Camera.
There's like the bone and like
the cameras. And then at the very back there's a whole list of extra things that you're supposed to go and look for on each page.
Yeah. Okay, well, cool. Thanks, guys. I'm like, this has been fun. I really liked reading about Marion Stokes. I thought that was so cool. There's a movie about her made in 2019 called Recorder, the Marion Stokes Project. And I really want to watch it because it seems very interesting.
Yeah, we should watch it and recap it on the
when we hang
Patreon.
Out.
Yeah.
When we hang out in just a couple weeks.
Well, I forgot to pull up the outro. Are you guys ready for an outro? I'm tired.
We hope you enjoyed diving into this episode with us. Want access to exclusive content and giveaways like Floons while supporting the work we do?
Join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/ I did not sign up for this. If you like what you heard, don't forget to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. I don't know why I'm Irish.
She's tired.
And hey, if you're feeling generous, leave us a review. It really helps us grow. We love hearing from you, so connect with us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Share your thoughts, suggestions, or just say hey. We always appreciate it. Thank you for spending your time with us. We appreciate your support. And until next time, have a fantastic week. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.